Hello and welcome to She's the Problem.
Oi, queridas.
Episode 2.
Episode 2, baby. And let me just say,
we're fucking doing it. And honestly, who's the problem? This is the problem. Figuring out these fucking cameras and this audio.
Yeah. We apologize for the first episode. The audio wasn't right.
We're going to go ahead and apologize.
And we're going to apologize for this one too.
But let me tell you guys. So we have been traveling back, obviously, from Europe. And my jet is lagging. I am feeling nauseous. Like, there's this thing when you come back from out of the country and your body's, like, refiguring out its circadian rhythm and all that.
What the fuck is that word?
A circadian rhythm.
Jesus.
Anyways, like your internal clock. So it just makes you feel sick to your stomach at certain parts of the days where, like, you should have been sleeping and your body's like, what are we doing? And we have had quite an experience with the Ubers here.
Let's talk about the smell and the motherfucking Ubers. Either it smells like B.O. because you stink so bad and you don't know how to shower. Or it smells like Tutti Frutti up Strawberry's asshole. Like, it literally smells so fruity.
Tutti Frutti up the booty for real.
For real.
No, it's like they take 100 of those car fresheners and shove them into a dirty butt crack. And then they put their asshole on the AC and just blow it right in your face.
No, it literally, I want to vomit. And then I always put my little window down. But we're in New Orleans, and that's not possible because it's like an oven outside.
Yeah,
but
it's a lot.
I truly have yet to recover. I feel so nauseous. So please, if you are an Uber driver, I know it's none of my business. This is your car. But if you're going to bring me into your car, don't put that motherfucker air freshener up. There's no point. Your car is looking dirty, number one. And two, I'm nauseous. So now we got a problem.
The lady that picked us up from the airport, bless her little heart. She was way too old to be driving. It already makes me sad when old people are working. And she almost killed us maybe 3 times. We merged into a no-merge. Truck almost hit us. I mean, skirted to a stop.
I mean, she said, baby.
We put our seatbelts on real quick. And we just also have like a bad thing with Ubers here. Because the last time we were here working, this Uber driver turned around and looks Larissa up and down. And he's like, what do you weigh, about 120? Larissa's like,
thanks. What's that? I felt naked. Get off my shirt. Yeah, it's like that TikTok. Get off my shirt. And then mind you, as he looks back to look at me, he hits the brakes because he's about to crash into the car. Anyways, girl, Ubers do better. And for some reason, I just found out this the other day, I got a 4.8 star review for my Uber.
What do you think that your negative star was? Like, who do you have a memory of an Uber that was like, he probably gave me a
honestly,
less
I
than
do.
Stunning report?
I do, but it's a life you don't want to know about.
You were being a slut.
I was being a slut. And I took this girl home in the Uber.
I will sell my coffee on you.
Threw up in it.
So you cheated on me.
I cheated on you, and it was honestly awful. I'm newly single, and I go into the town. And mind you, I'm not sexually open because, you know, one thing about me, I was kissing girls, but I was telling myself I was straight. I'm like, girl, I just like kissing.
Lies we tell.
Lies we tell.
Wait, pause. I gotta tell you this because this is important. I realized not that long ago, I was like talking to somebody, one of my friends. And I'm like, you know, when you're a kid and you like kiss all your girlfriends. And they're like, no, I didn't do that. I'm like, you never kiss one of your girlfriends? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you were playing house, you know, you kiss your friends? They're like, no. I'm like, oh my God, I was gay.
It's a gay thing.
Anywho.
So I was very much in denial. But there was this girl that hit me up at the bar. She came up to me, I mean, full on, like, pick me up, like, let's go home with me. And she was a little intoxicated, but like, I didn't think anything of it because I'm also intoxicated. Sure, girl, let's go. We are in Nashville. And I'm like, where do you live? And she's like, oh, I live in Murfreesboro. And you already know that's a fucking hike.
Yeah.
We're going on a hike right now. But I'm like, damn. So I asked my friends, I'm like, should I really go home with this girl? Like, she's in Murfreesboro.
Oh, that's like a 45-minute drive.
Like, is it really worth it? Answer is no. But yeah. I thought at my drunk state, it's a yes. So I thought it was a good idea to say, oh, I'll get the Uber on my name. Because why would I do this? Also, it was $85 for this Uber. That's a lot of money.
I mean, desperate times.
I wasn't even desperate. I guess I was. Now that I think about it, maybe I was. So I get in this Uber. I don't even know if we're talking or kissing. I'm not real sure what's going on, Rich. It's just nasty there. You don't want to know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's
pretty awful. Details, honestly.
I'm 5 minutes from her house. And she goes, I have to throw up. And mind you, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, so I tell the Uber, hey, pull over. You know, she needs to throw up. But what I don't realize, she already threw up a little bit inside the car. So I open the door. I'm holding her hair. I'm being a nice, at this point, we're friends. Because for sure, we're not doing nothing. You're throwing up.
No, that's like a switch that flips. Like, you're going to hook up with someone, and then some shit like that happens. It's like, and now we're best buds.
No, and now I'm for sure straight. You know, I was questioning. Now I'm really straight. Now I'm here just to help you. Now I'm my sister in Christ, here to take care of you.
I'm just a good Christian lady.
I'm a good Christian lady doing the Lord's work. So inside the house, she immediately goes to the bathroom. Mind you, she has to throw up all her clothes, everything. Oh. I'm taking care of this woman. I literally get her a t-shirt from her closet. Why are you laughing? This is so humiliating. I'm sitting there doing this like, why am I doing this?
You're a nurse at this point.
I'm a nurse. Taking care of the less fortunate. Anyways, Erica's my best friend. I call her. I'm like, hey, girl, it's 3 a.m. Please come pick me up. I'm at this bitch's house. It's 10 minutes from your house. Please come pick me up. Please. Erica's obviously livid, but she comes anyways. I get in the car. I tell her I don't want to talk about it. I just want to sit down and go home. Please. The next day, I realize I get charged $150 from this Uber on top of the $80.
Rough.
So I do have the girl's number. So I send her a little text. I say, hey.
Hey, sweetie.
Hope you're doing well. This is the girl from the bar the other night. Like, how embarrassing. That text already is humiliating because I don't need your $150, but it was the principal, you know? Because I'm like,
yeah.
You wasted my time. You were the one that came on to me and you throw up. Get it together. So I sent her a text. I said, hey, the Uber did charge me $150. This is my Venmo. I'm even saying, like, you know, if you just want to pay half. And she should have paid for the whole fucking thing.
Well, yeah.
Because, girl, you did the Lord's work in that car, not me. And she has the audacity to say, that's on you. If you went home with somebody from the bar, that's on you. And honestly, she ate it down. She literally ate it down.
That's like the sassiest way to say I don't have $120.
Yeah, it's the sassiest way. You a broke bitch. Because it wasn't even $150. Like, I asked you for half. I asked you for $75. I said, girl, if you don't have the money, just say so. I should have charged you for the ride, which was $80, plus the $150. I'm charging you for $75 of the $150 you did. The things you go through when you're single, it's truly humiliating.
Girl, I got some stories. You know what, though? That really does bring up a memory for me.
Oh, this is going to be so hard for me. Is it going to be so hard for me?
No. And also, grow up. I just listened to you.
Well, you're obviously more wrong.
Anyways,
than me.
It has nothing to do with that. This is not even a romantic thing. It just reminded me of this. Because you're a better person than me. And I wanted to tell you that. Because
you would have left the bitch on the curbside.
When I get anywhere near someone's like bodily functions or like someone does something that grosses me out, all humanity leaves. I could never be a nurse.
You say move.
No,
bitch.
I like have no nice kindness. Like that's why I'm like concerned for myself to be a mother because I don't know how I'm going to deal with puke, throw up, shit, snot. Like I'm really, really, I have a bad gear. Okay. What the fuck? I have such a sensitive stomach. I was in high school. Mind you, I'm not ever allowed to do anything in high school. Wasn't allowed to go anywhere, spend the night with anyone, whatever. My one friend that I'm allowed to sleep over with is Kylie. So I'm at Kylie's house. She lives in a neighborhood, so we're up to some shenanigans. You know, kids in neighborhoods, I was always so jealous because I lived out in the country. I couldn't do anything. So we're driving around in her neighborhood. We go to a field party. We're leaving the field party, and these two, one guy's in our grade, and then the other one's like an underclassman. I think he's like a freshman. And so we were at this point seniors. He's in the very back seat. So it's like these two dudes, and then it's me, two of our other friends in the middle row, and then Kylie in the front. This is important.
Okay.
Because it's like a three-row car.
Gotcha.
So we're driving, and we're like singing a song and whatever, and all of a sudden I just like feel a hot spray. Like I just feel just like a, like, and it was like a sound like that, like shh, or something. It felt like a sprinkler. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And I look down on my leg and there's a chunk of throw up on my thigh.
Ooh.
And I literally, it was like a demon took over my body because the way I turned around, like I swear my head disconnected.
Like
and I like an owl. Like I turned around and I was like, did you just fucking throw up on my back? And it was this little tiny man. And I could tell he was so scared. He's like a little freshman. And he was like, and then the guy next to him was like, oh, no, it was his water bottle. We like flung his water bottle. It was just water. And I was like, it was hot and there's a chunk of it on my leg.
Stop saying chunk because I will vomit. And so then we'll have to end this soon.
And also this guy was such a twat. And I like, didn't even want to be giving them a ride home, but like against my will because my friends wanted to, we did. And I was like, Kylie, pull the fucking car over. And she's like, what? Like, they have no idea what's happening. I'm like, turn the music off and pull the car over. And she's like, oh my God, like, what's happening? She pulls over and I get out of the car and I had a trench coat on. It was like my favorite little trench coat. It's like purple. And I get out of the car and I pull my seat forward and we're nowhere near their house. Like, we are in the neighborhood, like in the vicinity, but like nowhere near. And I was like, get the fuck out of the car. And they're like, what? Like, well, our house, whatever. I was like, get the fuck out of
the
car.
And this before Ubers, so they were stranded.
Literally. And they're like, okay, we were in the neighborhood. It's not like we were leaving them out in the woods, but like they had to walk home for sure, like for a while. And so they get out of the car.
Poor guy's just feeling sick, you know?
Honestly, that's what I'm saying. My humanity, like, because yeah. In the moment, like if I would really look back and think about it, I'd be like, that was mean. But in the moment, I'm like, you just fucking yacked on my back. I have chunks of your throw up all over my fucking favorite jacket.
Stop saying chunks.
No, disgusting. Damn. And so I literally got him out of the car. I don't even know what his name was. It was something ridiculous. But I just remember being like, I hope I never see you again.
I'm telling you, like, growing up, you do some shit that you don't even know why you're doing it.
I think back now, and it's like, that is like another lifetime ago. You know when you meet people and they do, like, have an essence of who they were, then it's like, oh, someone, like, parties and drinks, and you're like, oh, I could tell you partied back in the day or whatever. I feel like who I was at every stage of my life is, like, a different human.
I don't even know who I am.
Like, not connected to my body now at all.
Nothing makes sense at all. Like, I literally feel like I'm someone that is constantly changing, but not just like my personality, because I do have a personality disorder for sure when it comes to my moods. But I feel like I also change styles and like who I am. And one thing about it, if you knew me, then you don't know me now.
You do not know me now.
Because at that point, if you even say hi,
if it tells you guys anything, in college, I went by the name Raven.
No, you have
dead
a lot of
ass serious. I would write it on my college papers. My professors called me Raven Bush.
No, I know. When I first started dating her, we were in Bowling Green, and someone was like, "What up, Raven?" And I keep walking because obviously I don't know what Raven. And I'm like, "Is he talking to you?" Because he kept looking towards us.
Yeah,
and
he's Rachel, Raven.
And then Rachel goes, "Keep walking." And I'm like, "What? Oh my God,
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that man is.
Sorry to this man."
No, I have so many lives that I've lived in like such an extreme way. I used to go to music festivals. Now you wouldn't catch me dead being hot or in a tent.
Ever. That's for sure.
Honestly, I'm in my truest form now. We do have the same essence of who we've always been. Like, if someone knew me then and knows me now, they would know that I'm artsy and I like weird stuff and I'm like funny stuff and whatever. It's like I have kind of like the same
essence,
core essence.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's not the same person at all.
I wouldn't recognize myself from 2 years ago even. Yeah. And like 2 years ago, we were together. But like there's so much that changes with growing up.
There's also so much that you grow through. Like I think in high school, I was such an angry child because I was going through so much at home and dealing with so much at home that I feel like my energy was a lot more aggressive. So like when people, like in sports or when people would meet me, there was very much this barrier of like hard assness. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I got softer as I got older.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I remember a time when I would walk through the hallways of high school and just be like, I hope someone says something to me today so I can just punch them right in the face.
I feel like you
just I was such an angry child.
Do that a little bit.
I mean, a little
at
bit.
At the airport especially. You're like, I hope today's the motherfucking day.
Oh, I think that's like deep down in me, this like, I don't know, I have like a thing for justice.
Speaking of like childhood and stuff like that, moving from a different country to America, it's such a huge identity shift.
Yeah.
Because obviously growing up in Brazil, like I had an amazing childhood, like no denying it was great. Like I grew up really close to my cousins, like really family, like was always something we did. Obviously we had our traumas. Now don't get me wrong. You know, it's still a childhood after all. Parents didn't know what the fuck they were doing. My mom and dad had us at a very young age. So like, we're doing the best we can. But I feel like moving to America, I remember it being such a pivotal shift in my personality. Mm-hmm. Because I remember in Brazil, I felt like a child. Girl, I was still drinking out of a bottle. That's how much of a kid I was. Yeah, I was 9 years old when I stopped drinking out of a bottle. Judge me, honey. And then the reason why I stopped drinking a bottle was because my mom said in America, there was no bottles. So I had to drink from a sippy cup. So I said, bitch, get the sippy cup away from me. And I really felt like the kid in me was gone. It was like I had to get serious because I had to learn the language. It just felt like I had to be so grateful that we were there. I didn't really want to be there. I just started dating this little guy that I really wanted to date like for 2 years. I had to break up with him because I told him I moved to America. I didn't even tell him. I didn't show up to school the first day.
I can't imagine, like, even when we visit Brazil, that feeling of being around everyone and not knowing what anyone is saying
is wild.
Is so lonely and sad. Even if you're being included in certain ways or like people are talking to you, you still just feel this like gut-wrenching loneliness.
For sure.
So I can't imagine being a child and moving to a whole other country where everything that makes you comfortable is gone.
Moving here was so hard. I didn't remember this until a few years ago. I got punched in the motherfucking face by this little boy because I didn't speak English and he didn't like me. He beat my ass. Reality in America felt so much more hard than it did in Brazil. And I was like, oh, bitches don't like me here. Maybe that's why I feel like I'm constantly always shifting who I am, because I felt like I had to do that here.
This gave you like a superpower of like blending in well.
100%, because I had to. Mm. That was like my only option.
Do you feel like being an immigrant child made you hard around the edges? Because in the sense that like you meet people who they have something about them that's different, either they're gay or they're from another culture or like things like that. And I think for me, obviously there was something about me that made me that way, but my family trauma weirdly made me defensive and hard. And it was almost like people didn't know what was going on at home and I didn't really talk about it. So it almost had this like layer of spikes that came to everyone.
Do
you feel like it made you softer or harder with the thing that felt different inside you?
The only way to describe what it was, it is that it made me grow up so much quicker. Having to translate everything for my parents. They're working. I mean, they're not going to school to learn English, but I'm in school. So I'm learning English. So my doctor's appointments, I'm the one that's booking it. So it made me at times too serious, even though like my personality today is not serious. Like I'm a very playful person, but that's why I think I'm so type A on getting things done, because I had to get things done. And you don't really get to say no. Either you help your parents or you help your parents. That's something a lot of immigrant kids go through that no one talks about and no one comprehends.
You know what's funny? I'm realizing that that's like one of the things that we have in common in a way. Both of us having to grow up really fast. Deal with things where we didn't get to say no. There were so many things, my parents' dynamic, that I had to do against my will. I had to relay the message, or I had to organize who's going where, or I
had to take care of your brother and sister.
Like, had to take care of Brooke and Clay, and then certain things that you internally like just so bad want to be like, no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be a kid. And then you end up doing it. And so I feel like we share that in a sense, because it's funny that you're the youngest.
I know.
But you don't feel like the youngest in a lot of ways because of the way that you had to grow up fast. So I feel like that's why certain parts of us connect in that way.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny. I wonder if Thais was here, would she think I feel like the youngest sibling? Because I feel like for her, I was very much the younger sibling. But now, experiencing you have younger siblings, I don't think I acted like a younger sibling. But I'm sure for my older sister, it probably felt like, oh God, she's a young child. Yeah. And in many ways, I was like busy and troubled in the sense of like, she had to get me out of trouble because I was more active.
That's usually like a younger sibling thing.
For sure. I feel like everything else, I was right there with her. Yeah. She still had more responsibility than me for sure, because she took on that role a lot more than me. And my parents also relied more on her because she was more responsible when it came to school, when it came to all that, she was more responsible.
I'm wondering at what point, because I remember elementary school, I feel like I was so introverted. Like very much still had friends and was like, you know, loved playing with people and stuff like that. But when I was at home, I would always play by myself for hours and hours and hours. And so I feel like I was like soft-ish then. And then I feel like when my parents started to get divorced, that was when I started getting really angry. And that showed in a lot of my personality. I was just like more combative, like internally. Yeah. I've always been a rule follower. So it wasn't like externally. Well, that's like not really. Like I've never been a rule follower when it comes to my parents. Mm-hmm. Fashion, my interest, art, all of those things have always been very rebellious. But like, I would be super rebellious while still doing all the rules. You said I need to show up at that time, I won't be there at that time. And if I'm supposed to do X, Y, and Z on my paper, I will do X, Y, and Z on my paper, but I will have a shaved head while I'm doing it.
How would have our dynamic been if I met you and I was a kid? I wonder if we would have been friends, because we were so different and we were going through our own shit, you know?
I got along with like everyone.
Same.
I was always, I was very in each little group. Like I had friends that were athletes. I had artsy friends. I had music friends. Like,
did you ever get bullied?
Oh my God. In middle school?
Yeah.
But it was funny because like, I don't know how to explain. I just like didn't receive it.
Like I rebuked that.
No, it's not even that I like rebuked it. It was just like, no one can bully you if you don't believe them. So it was like people would try to bully me, but then I would just be like, that's not true.
Things were a lot different though back then. I feel like what was school, bullying was just at the school and then you could go home and you never talk to them because you didn't have the internet either. So it was like the bullying really wasn't as effective. I feel like if you had the personality you did, where no, I don't agree with you.
You're... I was just delusionally confident.
Yeah.
Like even in moments where like I think any normal person would have been like, oh, ow, like, you know, just people saying things repetitively or like calling me a certain name repetitively. Like, I feel like other people would have been like, oh. And there were certain things that would make me question myself of like, is that true? Or like, do I look like that? But overall, it was just kind of like my mindset was that they were losers.
Yeah.
Like I literally would just be like, you're just mad. My mom did a really, really good job. So did my dad, of like making really confident kids. All of us are very, I mean, Brooke, like sometimes she has talked about struggling a little bit with like anxiety, but still overall has been like relatively confident. They had this like huge detachment to your looks, weirdly. We were never allowed to be vain. We were never allowed to like talk about the way that we looked, or if she's almost to an extreme, like if she saw you looking at yourself in the mirror or whatever, she'd be like, don't be vain. But she would tell us we were beautiful all the time, but it was like in a way that was like, don't act like you're beautiful. Not in a way that would like cut you down, because you think that that would make you be like, oh, I guess I'm just not pretty.
No, yeah.
Like she almost did it in a way that was like, you're beautiful, but just like be that, don't say that. And we would just be like, oh, okay.
So yeah, just so like, someone bullied you, you're like, girl, bye.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't have like an attachment to that. I really carry that through life now. Like even when someone calls me a name or acts a certain way, in my adulthood, like if someone comments on Instagram and says something, I just like don't receive it.
The reason why I asked if you got bullied, because I was trying to remember, like, did I get bullied for other than not knowing English in like elementary school? And I feel like I started getting picked on for being friends with the guys. And like I had a girl literally say she was gonna fight me in middle school because a little boyfriend was like my friend, but he spoke Portuguese, so that's why he was my friend. Going into high school, there were some ugly ass bitches who turned out to be losers anyways. They would make fun of me when I would walk down to my class.
You were hot stuff.
No, babe, I wasn't hot. Same concept. I was ugly. I mean, girl.
You have never been ugly.
I will insert a picture right now. My hair was like, you see my pictures, girl. It's
bad. But you still had a body, yaddy yaddy.
But the crazy thing is, I was so confident, and I don't know where I got it from, but I was so confident in that way. But the girls would bully me because their little guys they like would be my friend.
They were jealous.
And you know what's funny? They were calling me a lesbian. And you know what?
You know, upon reflection,
you were right.
I didn't know what the word bisexual was, because like technically I feel like both of us are bisexual, but it's like, I didn't know what that word meant.
Pause. Technically we're both gay because we're
About before, obviously now we're lesbians because we're married to each other and that's it, period, end of
life.
Say
that right.
But I'm saying in general, before we met each other, we were attracted to both men and women.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that that was a thing. Whenever I was a kid, I was like, oh, no, I'm for sure not.
Do you remember like the first time you got called that? And pause before you answer, because I do. I want to say why. I really just asked that question so I could answer what I was thinking. So I remember the first time someone called me a lesbian. I was in Brazil, fourth grade. And this guy, but this is the thing. Brazilians, let me tell y'all, we got to get with times. It's a very macho world where they think men hung the moon and women didn't. All because I enjoy playing soccer. So literally this one kid, my sister's grade, he said, bet anything that you're going to turn out to be a lesbian.
You should call him.
And say, you were right. And you know what's crazy? That's the little boy that I liked was his brother. So he was like telling his brother not to date me because I was a lesbian. But I remember the first time hearing that, and I thought literally, Rach, on God, I thought, oh, I guess if you play soccer, that's what they call girls that play soccer, a lesbian. I literally had no idea.
You go home, you're like, Mom, I found out today I'm a lesbian.
So I didn't even ask my parents because I just thought like I was so innocent. I never knew what that was. And I remember my first little kiss with a girl. Mind you, I have been doing lesbian activities in Brazil too. Kissing my friends, you know, playing house, you know, when we were doing.
Yeah.
Not our friends, but we were. So I remember like my first little girl kiss was like in middle school, summer school, because you know I failed my class, my math class.
Oh,
dumb. Kissed this little girl, and that was like, oh, I could do that. I still didn't think I was gay. I could never.
Ugh,
disgusting. And I remember thinking, oh, I'll just kiss all my friends. Perfect idea.
Girl, I kissed all my friends with just genuine thoughts that like that's what everyone did. I was like, oh, everyone just kisses their friends. And some of those girls, I really don't think that they're gay. So I'm like, was it me? Was I the problem?
No, you were forcing them, I think.
No, I wasn't. They were coming on to me.
Oh, you were spicy thing. I would come on
to
you.
Not all of them. But like I would have like some of my friends would be like, I've never kissed anyone before. And like, my boyfriend wants to kiss me and I don't know how to do it, whatever. And I was like, well, we could practice.
Oh, you were there for...
I'm there for a friend, a shoulder to cry on.
Whatever you need, a kiss. a little lesbian activity, you name it. I'm here. I'm your friend. When so was the first ridiculous. Time for you that you heard someone calling you that?
So the first time that I was called a lesbian was because I was being a lesbian. I was doing lesbian activities with one of my friends. And I didn't think anything of it, never reflected on it, didn't plan on telling anybody about it, for sure not. And she told two girls that we cheered with that I was a lesbian. So when I found that out, as the angry little teenager that I was, I wrote her a note pretending to be someone else, talking about her. How psychotic is that?
That's psychotic.
So I was in eighth grade. I was in eighth grade, she was in seventh grade. I wrote a note back and forth trying to change my handwriting to make it look like two different people talking to each other. And then I went to her classroom and I knocked on her door and I was like, hey, I found this note in the bathroom, in the seventh grade bathroom. And these girls were talking about you. It's pretty bad. You should read it.
You are crazy.
A psychopath. And I never, wanted anyone else amazing. To see it. It was specifically to hurt her feelings. Like that was, I was like, oh, you called me a lesbian? Well, people are talking about you being a lesbian. And obviously it was me. Obviously.
But she didn't know that. Back in seventh grade, you don't know shit like that.
No, and I have the most distinct handwriting ever. I cannot get away with it.
I know.
I give her the note. She tells everybody. She pulls the note out on her bus and is like, oh my God, like crying about it. Tells all these people that we know. And then the girl that sat next to me in every single class also just happened to ride that bus. And she's like, whose handwriting is this? She's like, that's Rachel's handwriting. I'd know it from anywhere. Like, didn't even know the context of what the conversation was. Ratted on me. And then she was like, I knew it. I knew it. So then our friendship obviously blew up. She told, so-and-so told someone else's boyfriend. That guy sent out a mass text to everyone we went to school with.
Saying what?
Saying that she was a lesbian because he got mad at her. And I was like, y'all, this kind of snowballed into something I wasn't expecting. And now I'm like feeling real
too
bad.
Deep. You're too deep.
No, I was too deep. And so I literally like I had to tell her. And then I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I did not mean, I didn't think any of that was going to happen. I was just, and I literally said, I was just trying to hurt your feelings. That person, the guy sent an SMS mass text to everyone.
I remember when you got that bitch. It was like 100 people.
It's like forward or you're going to hell. Literally. And he sent it to everyone we went to school with. He's like, so-and-so's a lesbian. And I was like, oh my God. And then I turned out to be a lesbian.
So honestly.
That was my karma.
That was your karma. Honestly, you deserve that.
Is that
poor girl.
Fucking,
she's probably married with two kids by now.
No. And then from that point on, I don't register anyone ever calling me a lesbian.
But you became aware of what a lesbian was.
But I became that, like, that was like the first time anyone accused me of being a lesbian. And I was like, what?
Because you grew up Christian, coming to terms with like who you are to the core and comprehending that it's okay to be who you are took so long for me. Mm. Oh, I mean, God, because I remember those kids like in high school saying those things about me. And I was 100% doing lesbian shit. Do not get me wrong. But then I also was hooking up with the boys. So it was like this.
You were just around.
But I wasn't, mind you, I say hooking up, we weren't having sex. You know, we were just kisses here and there. I wasn't out here doing crazy stuff. Uh-huh. You know, peace be with God. I wouldn't do that. So to me, like, it was very confusing because I thought Americans were open. You know, Brazilians are the ones that were stiff in my brain. I thought Americans just kiss each other. You know, I watch American Pie.
Brazilians are so open.
I know,
but kissing everybody.
I remember, girl, no, not like the lesbian stuff. I'm telling you, I remember the first time my grandma saw two girls together and she was mortified. She couldn't believe it. They were at the pool in Caldas Novas, which is this little place we go to every summer. And they were literally kissing, like maybe holding hands, and my grandma couldn't believe it. And so I remember people's reaction and realizing, oh, this is bad. You cannot do that. And thinking like, okay, in America, my friends were kissing each other. So I thought, oh, America's open. Going back home and like back and forth, I felt like there was such an identity, push and pull. And then obviously you add religion to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doomed to be what it was, you know?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't allow myself to feel or be, and every time I was questioned with it, I never got questioned by my parents, which surprising. I think they just didn't want to hear yes, and I would never tell them yes. So then it's like I lived in this secret for so long and hated myself for it. Couldn't believe it. I remember praying the gay away, girl, boo. Jesus heard me 17 million times. Take this away. I don't want to be this way. Thinking to myself, you know? Yeah. It was such a weird thing coming to terms of like, no, you are gay. I feel like I didn't come to terms of being gay until I met you.
And like into our relationship.
Into like engagement day. That I had still
hard.
Questioned.
Yeah.
I still questioned like, is this okay? And I remember I called my sister and I was like, girl, whatever engagements were supposed to be, that wasn't it for us. And it wasn't like the moment was beautiful, and it was like, obviously.
It was the after.
It was the after because of people's response to us coming out. And like,
we had a very painful, like, beginning to our relationship.
Of course.
And when I think about the things that we made it through in the beginning, it's honestly shocking.
Shocking.
Like, we went through some really sad shit. You like, were a trooper. You've been through some stuff.
Let me tell you something. I'm not here to toot my own horn, but
I was
a trooper because you I loved you. I loved you. I still do, obviously.
Damn.
No, but I felt
not past tense.
I don't know. No, I still love you, baby. You're still the love of my life. But like, there was such a, I didn't care. I loved you so much that I couldn't believe that that was wrong. I'm like, what?
Well, there was no way to even like pretend it was wrong.
Fake, or it was like bad.
Previous to meeting you, I think I had maybe experienced feeling like actual gay feelings towards a girl before.
Ugh, this is my worst story.
But it was in such a like small capacity, and I still was so like, I don't think that's like a thing. Like, I would never want to be with that person for real. Like, it was just like the hint of a thought of like, oh, like, is that something I would, like, desire? Yeah. Or, like, could I see that happening? Yeah. And I still, like, couldn't the whole time that I even felt that way. But when I met you, it was so undeniably right, and it felt right. And it was, like, it didn't feel like I was, like, oh, I was straight, now I'm being gay and this, whatever. It literally was just, like, I'm so in love with you. It didn't matter who you were and what shape, form you came in. I would have loved you so intensely that it would have like unfolded the same way.
100%. I feel like
I didn't even think about it. It felt like we were in a car falling off a cliff and we were just like, put our seatbelt on. Like, here we go.
Actually, I don't even think we put our seatbelt. We were bumping everywhere and still.
No, it just was like a free fall. Like, we just kind of like let ourselves fall into it. And we had so many conversations of, is this going too fast? Like, do we need to slow down? Is this healthy?
Pause. You had
me,
those conversations. Because
yes.
I felt.
I have commitment problems. Yeah. But I felt right. It still felt right. But it was like, I think the knowledge of what something's supposed to be, I was holding myself to that. I was holding myself to those parameters of being like, is that okay? Is that normal? And like, I think sometimes that's a problem of mine is measuring up to like, what is right? What's standard? And trying to find what people's level of that is to make sure I'm doing
what's
it right.
What's the normal?
Yeah. And like, well, my version of what I prefer normal to be. And so I kept being like, is this healthy? Is like whatever. And it was such a conversation that doing it any differently would have been so against
100%
nature.
And like that conversation with my sister at our engagement shifted our relationship. Yeah. For me, it shifted the way I looked at God and me. Because I remember feeling such unease. I was sobbing. Again, not unease because of what we were doing, but because
of
what everyone
was
saying.
Of others.
Yeah, what other people were saying, not everyone, because it wasn't everyone. We had obviously a lot of support in the midst of not having support. And then she said, if the whole thing is like, who brings peace? And I was like, well, God does. Like, essentially, peace comes from God, and that's that. And then obviously in the Bible, it talks about like the devil is who brings like stress and anxiety. And then she goes, girl, all this like fear and things you're feeling doesn't come from God. Let it go. Stop like trying to live a life for what other people want you to be. Like, if it brings you peace, if Rachel brings you peace, and this is like the most peace you've ever felt. Because I kept saying, God, this is the happiest I've ever been. This is like the most peaceful I've ever felt. She's like, then God is telling you to go. Mm-hmm. Like, go with her. This is your person. I'm like, girl, you know what? Hell yeah. And I remember having that conversation with you on that train and saying like, hey, this is where I'm at. And, you know, obviously you had a relationship with like God, but it's been so different.
No, I'm not religious.
Yeah, but it's been different than like the Christian God. Mm-hmm. You have like a God relationship and you're very spiritual. And I love that about you, but it's not like a Christian concept.
No.
You know, so you didn't struggle with religious part of it.
Well, because when I grew up, we were very much in the church. We went to church twice a week. Like, we were, you know, all my friends were very in the church. And I just recognized a flaw in it so young. And I just didn't think it aligned. Like, the words that they would say and the actions they had, I was like, this isn't making sense. Like, the people that I'm in Sunday school with, and then the way they act here, and then the way they act at school, and then, like, the adults here, and then finding out, I think also just because I grew up too fast, so it was like knowing that certain adults at my church were like having affairs and like doing things like that, things I shouldn't have known. It made me realize like, this is fake. Like this, and obviously I'm not saying that for all religion. I'm not saying that for like people's relationship with God. I'm saying that like organized religion in the way that I experienced it, I saw that it was it was performative. These were performative Christians that were saying that they believe in something, and they were picking and choosing which rules they wanted to care about. But then, like, overall, they were not leading a lifestyle of that at all. Because then you would sit there and read scripture, and it would say, like, love your neighbor above all, love your neighbor above all, like, take care of those around you, and, like, this, this, and this, whatever. Like, all of, like,
that wasn't the happening.
Basic thing. And I'm like, what? That's not, like, that's not happening. You guys don't do that at all. You're actually terrible people. Mm. And so then it just, like, kind of destructed something inside me to where I never even got to form it. So yeah. I never felt this attachment to, like, pleasing God. Mm. I never believed in any of the rules. Like, I think, I swear to God, at 10 years old, I had this feeling of, like, some guy, like, some king wrote this to make everyone obey him. And this isn't real. Like, that's what I thought of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And not to say that the, like, I thought of it more as, like, moral stories to teach lessons. And I perceived it like, oh, these are really helpful tools to teach people how to be good people. Mm-hmm. And to make people, like, follow something that helps guide them in the right direction. But I never viewed it as, like, this, these are literal things that if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're going to go burn in hell. Like, I just didn't, I didn't envision it that way. And so it was like, growing up, it was always like, I don't need a book to be a good person. Like, I feel like I know right and wrong without someone telling me what's right and wrong.
Yeah. I get that.
But still felt a huge attachment to God. I still felt a huge attachment to, like, a creator and, like, there being, you know, the essence of God. And I thought Jesus was a real person. Like, I still believed a lot of the things that were in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I just thought that there was things in the Bible that were used to manipulate the masses.
Yeah. No, for sure. 100% what you're saying makes perfect sense. And then you have me on the other hand that, like, served the church for years and, like, was in Bible study leader and, you know, and all that stuff. And so it's like, it was such a deconstruction of who I was and who I hid behind. Because for me, the closer I got to God is the closer I thought I could get away from being gay. You know what I mean? Essentially, the closer I am here, the furthest I would give into my fleshly desires.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because the Bible got deconstructed for me pretty big. I feel like the moment we started traveling more, you start to learn history. I started to learn that, like, oh, this king changed this here in order for Rome to get what Rome needed. Yeah. Or then, oh, France, like, the king of France, you know, did this to cause that. And I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. Things that are changing to benefit all these people.
Yeah.
What makes you think that that wasn't in the Bible? And then you start to dive deep, and then you
but see, there is already the evidence of that. The
then you see then you see research, and then you're like, oh shit. But that's something that you don't dare to bring up. You don't question God. Mm-hmm. And that's the tactic that Christianity as a whole has. You can't question this thought you have, because who are you to question God?
Well, see, and I was also a kid, like, my dad, obviously being a doctor, was very
science-based.
He promoted questioning everything. He wanted you to ask him, why is this a different color than that? Why does that look like this and not that? And it was like, that was very much nourished in our childhood. Mm-hmm. So when I was in Bible study, I remember asking the teacher, well, if God made all of us, then who made God? And she was like, well, and I was like, well, then where did he come from? And, like, was he just in, like, the dark space, or did he have, like, a house, or does he, whatever, does that house not exist? Is he a person? Does he have, you know, fingers and toes too? And I asked all these questions, and she was just like, well, we just believe, like, we just have faith. We just have to have faith that exists in a certain way. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. And I just, because I couldn't make sense of it, I was like, I don't believe that.
None of this is to say that I don't believe in God. I just think that question things and go deeper within your relationship. Because some people need organized religion to be a good person. Some people need the religion for that structure, you know, and some people, like, that's just the path that they need to be on. That isn't to say that all church people are bad and all that. Like, no, not at all. But I feel like that was so hard. And I remember us receiving messages when we first met of girls being like, hey, I'm from Kentucky, or hi, I'm from Nashville. I have a very Christian family. And, like, how do you guys do it? How did you come out? And it was funny because I want to be like, girl,
to be continued. We're still figuring it out.
To be determined. I don't know. But I remember.
Well, that's another hard part of it, though, is, like, you come from this painful experience with it as a child. And then you feel like you grow out of it in certain ways and you come to a good place. And then something like this happens where you're not expecting it. And you fall in love. And, you know, we were together. And then you see such an ugly side of organized religion when you come out as gay. It's like the judgment and the way that people reject you over simply just loving
each
other.
Well, yeah, and then it makes you question God. Almost like I remember feeling too shameful to even pray. Because I thought, well, God hates me. Everyone says that. Like, so for sure, I can't even pray. People saying, like, we couldn't talk about anything to do with God because, you know, we were living a sinful life. Mm-hmm. So it's like there was all these people in our lives saying these weird things. So you question so much. When I was Christian, my parents weren't. My parents were Catholics, which is the same thing. But honestly, if you know, you know. And I was going to the beach with my parents. And I got a call from, like, my youth pastor at the time telling me that I couldn't go to the beach because my parents weren't saved. And what if God come back?
That's crazy.
And that's crazy. I'm 13. And I'm sobbing because I'm like, oh, God, what if the God does come back? I'm like, this fear. It's this fear base. And I remember my sister picked up the phone and she goes, bitch, get the fuck off my sister's line. You know what? If we're going to hell, we'll hold hell together. See you there. You know, and she hung up. And I said, okay, something is not right here. And I remember that was the first time I questioned that. I didn't never question God because I knew it was real because I felt it. And I knew that, like, within me, it's real and I feel it. And I feel it today. I feel it every day. So that's not the question here. But I realize people use him to shame and hurt other people just because they live a life that's different than them.
Yeah.
And it's not just about being gay, but I feel like obviously gay in religion is the number one no-no.
And, like, why is that? I wish I could figure out why out of all the sins.
Sins, because we don't think it's a sin, obviously.
But all of the things that they consider sins by, like, the Bible standard, why is that the only one they actually care about? Like, and maybe it's because it's not relatable to them. Maybe because they can't see themselves in it or they don't struggle with it, that it's like, oh, they can shame it because it's like, oh, well, I don't do that. So they think they're better than, you know, you. But it's like, people will look you dead in your face and cheat on someone and then be like, you're gay. And it's like, because you choose sin.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer. About? Like, I don't know exactly, like, what, why? I don't know if is it because we're feeling something that they will never get to experience, is being authentic to who they are? Because, like, obviously, it is very rare that people really get to live a life that they're being fully who they are.
Yeah.
It's so rare. So I don't know if it's the jealousy of not having that.
Or is it just ignorance? Because, like, they'll dead ass be standing there, polyester blend, fucking pork chop in hand, just cheated on somebody, like, and then be like, you're going to hell. I'm like, me?
Not you.
No, me and you. We.
I said, hold my hand. We'll go together then.
Because what are you talking about?
And I don't know. I don't
but
know.
But they're dead serious. Yeah. And they're so convinced, like, truly to their bones, they think that we're crazy.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because, like, I had a conversation with someone and they were like, and I said, you know what? It's a 50-50. It's 50% that I'm wrong and I am going to go to hell. And it's 50% chance that you're wrong and you're going to hell, you know, for judging me. And they're like, God, isn't that, like, so, like, isn't that so scary? That's 50%. And then I didn't have the answer. And I want to be like, isn't it scary for you that, like, this,
like, you could be so wrong.
And then you're going to be condemned in hell for treating people bad and telling them, like, that who they are to the core God doesn't like. It's crazy. The concept of, like, religion and the shame that it comes with it, and it takes years. Still something we'll work with for the rest of our lives. It's getting rid of that, for me anyways, it's getting rid of that internal shame that they literally give it to you at the church and says, here's shame, have fun with it.
I think the sad thing is, too, is that it could be so beautiful. It has, like, and I always was so jealous of that growing up when I saw people who had, like, a really beautiful relationship with religion. Because, like, there's people in my family who are super connected to God, and I would see, like, you be super connected to God. And also just, like, people in life. And it was, like, I almost felt a feeling of jealousy where I'm like, oh, that looks, like, so happy. I wish I could feel that. Or I wish I could, like, feel that type of connection to, like, God in that way. Mm. Or, you know, whatever. But it was just, like, something that I never clicked with in that.
In the way they did.
In the way they did. I never got that, like, beautiful, like, glowy feeling from it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because seeing other people feel that way, I'm like,
oh, and you know what's crazy?
That must be nice.
The closest I've ever felt to God on earth was you, like, being with you.
Why? What do you
because mean? I remember, like, who you are and the way you treat others and the way, like, you carry yourself. I felt like, God, if anyone is like God, like, that's like this girl. And I remember seeing God in you so much.
Oof, Lord, honey. Gets me emotional. But it's true. Like, so it's so funny to, like, have this idea of what a relationship with God is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And then not realizing, like, girl, you're the spitting image of him. You know? You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, like, it's just, it's a journey. And if there's any advice I would give, honestly, be who you are. Like, be truly who you are in the most delusional, believe in yourself way. Because it's like, everything in this world will make you question it, but dive deep. Mm-hmm. And honestly, fuck everybody. At that point, like, truly turn off the outside sound and allow yourself to feel. If you don't do that, like, it's so easy to just conform with the world.
Being inauthentic to yourself leads to all the bad things in the world. You know, people get married and have kids and they've been gay the whole time, and then they hurt all these people in the process of just not being themselves.
Yeah.
And vice versa, people who are straight. It's just like there's so much shame in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we give so much of it to ourselves. And we would be so much better off if we were just authentically who we are. And I know that that's so difficult because that's something...
Or cliche. It sounds like, oh, just be who
yourself. Well, no, but it's something that's so difficult because even for me, one of the biggest things with like falling in love with you was that it felt too vulnerable.
Mm.
I'm someone who struggles with vulnerability a lot. It's funny because other people can be vulnerable to me all day, but like for me to express my vulnerability to other people is so difficult. You make the inside of me so projected on the outside.
Mm.
And I don't know how else to explain that, but it's like being with you, I feel see-through. I feel like people can see this childhood joy with me or feel this like vulnerability or this softness that I've never let be out in the open. And that comes with, I guess, just being happy. But it's funny because it's very vulnerable. And is so scary. And I felt like my family knowing that I was with you and seeing me be like a little princess with you was like too vulnerable to me.
Yeah.
And like just in the world in general. So mm-hmm. It's like I understand that it's scary. But I think all like scary things that are also a little exciting, you should always do.
Oh yeah. And it always
No, and then you get on the other side and you're like, why the fuck was I so scared of that? Like whenever I met you in that first feeling of like, oh God. And then it was just kind of like the Band-Aid got ripped off and like you were just mine. And I just remember being like, why was I so terrified to be myself? Like I could have done
this. The journey. It's like
forever.
Yeah. Ago. I feel like if it wasn't with you, it wouldn't have been. I don't think I would have ever had the guts to come out and like fully dive into that.
Well, I don't think I loved anyone like you. I've ever loved you.
No, I mean.
I know I haven't. So then it's just like, I don't think I would have ever had the
courage.
Yeah, say that
right. Say that one more time. Go ahead so we can hear it.
I never loved anyone the way that I loved you to where I felt the courage to be myself or to be vulnerable, but you were worth it. So then it made me open up and let that happen.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better.
There's so much more depth to like all of those topics, obviously, and that's so like scratching the surface of it. But I feel like it opens up a conversation of vulnerability and like people just choosing to be themselves and also a little bit of the process of what it was like
for us.
For us, it was hard.
Yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I would go through it all over again. If I knew then what I know now, I would do it again.
I would do it different, but I would do it.
I would do it differently, obviously.
I would have some different boundaries.
We would have had some boundaries that we didn't have then. But I would still do it because I know I ended up with you in the long run. So I feel like I'm very grateful. And really, to anyone that's struggling or thinks of that, God really does love you. Like, don't allow these voices to think that you're not the same as everybody else. Bitch, you don't want to be the same as everybody else. Everybody else unhappy and ugly. You're pretty and hot and happy. You know what I mean? Like, at least that's what I think anyways. You know the whole thing that people do, God hates fags. But let me tell you something. God loves fags. Mm-hmm. And these two right here, he loves us. And all this gay talk got me thinking, we're in New Orleans.
This is our
first trip we ever took together as a couple.
Babe, this was the most special place. We had a blast. First time I farted in front of you.
First time she farted in front of me.
Blew her away.
Blew me away. And honestly, I will post that video. I don't even care. Because you were wild for doing that. And it was one of my favorite trips.
Well, we love you guys.
We love you.
Thanks for tuning in.
And you know what? Next time you see us, girl, we're going to be in Puglia, Italy.
Good Lord.
Ciao, Bellas.
Ciao.
Need to take a nap.